That? Okay, today's daf is daf Tet Vav, and we're holding right on the very top of the daf. Tet Vav Amud Aleph. Itmar. Lechi ha'omed me'ilav. Abaye omer havi lechi, Rava omer lo havi lechi. If you have a lechi that was not made originally in order to be a lechi to fix a mavli, it just happened to be sitting there, and we'll see various cases, but the important element is the lack of yichud for a lechi. Abaye omer havi lechi, Rava omer lo havi lechi. Machlokes Abaye and Rava, this is one of the famous Ya'al Kegams, by the way. This is Lalamet of Ya'al Kegams, is lechi omed me'ilav. One of the few areas in which halacha is kabayim. So Rava says it's not considered to be a lechi. Now hechad lo samchinan alimetz mol kuliyam lo pligid lo havi lechi. There's no question that if it hadn't been before Shabbat the lechi, so that there was an original intention to use another lechi, and that lechi, let's say, collapsed. Now you're left with this one. In that case, kuliyam lo pligid lo havi lechi. Certainly, since it wasn't the lechi on which you were basing your heter of the mavli, it's not considered to be a lechi, despite the fact that we had the idea that we already met earlier, that once something is hutra for Shabbat, it's hutra for Shabbat, but that does not apply to where you lost the mechitza, the heker that you were relying on, as we'll see. So, kuli amlo pligi lavi lechi, ki pligi heker es amchinen lemi etzmo. Question over here is where you were miyachedit yesterday, even though it hadn't been made for that purpose, and you said, oh, look at that, the wall juts out. Let's call that the lechi. So Abaye omer havi lechi da samchinan alei me'etmo. Abaye says, okay, that's a lechi. We relied on it earlier. We'll see what this machlokas is dependent on later. Rav amar lo havi lechi, given to me kara lavatai today lechi avi. Since it wasn't made for a heker, you can't arbitrarily define something as a heker ex post facto, because then by definition it's not a heker. This is the way things are.
Is it a factual one again?
Either way. Not necessarily. Could be a tree that grew up next to the wall, something like that. Yeah, we're going to have these cases. Now, Kisalka died originally. We assumed that Kiheker pligi velechi pligi nami lemechitza, that a lechi and a mechitza are the same issue, and that Abaye Varova would have argued in the same way about a mechitza that's omedet me'ilav, and that assumption accounts for the riyas that we're about to bring, which, if we don't make the assumptions, are irrelevant. Toshima, based on that assumption, let us come here and discover whether the following would prove the issue, one way or another. Somebody makes a sukkah, and he builds the sukkah between a lot of trees. The trees are the tfanot of the sukkah. Sheira. Now, that means that we're using these trees as kosher mechitzot. Certainly the tree, one would assume, isn't originally built as a sukkah, and therefore it means a mechitza suya me'ilea is a kosher mechitza, just like Abaye said by lechi, and we're assuming that lechi and mechitza is the same thing. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Could be talking about that you planted the trees to be a sukkah. What else would a Jew have in mind 70 years earlier when he plants this tree? My grandchildren will be sitting in a sukkah built of my trees. That's right, sure. Huh? That's right, that is the way they did the chuppas. I mean, at least they planted the trees for this, for the chuppas. Yeah, that kind of super planning can bring churbanos down on your head. You better be careful. Yeah. So, that seems to be a proof that we could dispense with, because it doesn't say over here what they were planted for. But wait, says the Gemara, if they were planted milachatchila to be the sukkah, so then what's the chiddush? Yihachi pshita. Must be talking about that it wasn't planted for the sukkah. And the chiddush gufa is the fact that it doesn't need planting? No. There is another chiddush. Because ma'at teim ligzardima ati lishtamushi bi'ilan? You might think you cannot use an ilan as the wall of the sukkah, because maybe you'll end up using it on the chag, which is prohibited. So maybe as part of the yisuf shimush bi'ilan, we answered using it as a mechitza bichlo. Kamashmalan, that's not a problem. But not necessarily that the Kamashmalan, the Chidush, is that it doesn't have to be planted l'chatchila to be a sukkah. So from here we don't have a proof. Let's take a look at the next case. Tashma. Hayasham ilan, o gader, o chitzata kanim, nidon mishum diumad. In a case of the pase beraot, where we also require a stylized mechitza, which is an amah in one direction, amah in the other direction, in an L shape on each of the four corners, with a bore of Mayim in the middle, you will recall, with 13 and a third Amot in the middle, and according to Rabbi Meir, 10 in the middle, and the 4-meal teams and 10 and 18 wheel rigs and things like that, all of those issues. So the din over here is that if you have Ilanot or Achitzat HaKanim, where you have reeds that are planted in this L shape, then you could use those as your diumet. No, that doesn't mean that it just grew that way. So then, so again, what the problem is, so what would be the chiddush? Certainly not going to say the chiddush that we said before here. Kamash malan, the chiddush over here is that the chitzat hakanim kane pachot mishloshat fachim kirboi minei Abaye miRaba. We'll see later on that there's a question that Abaye asks Rabba about the nature. Is it you thereafter or your neighbor upstairs?
I don't know. I think it's Saigon.
We once had a sukkah in California when they had the attack of the Mediterranean fruit fly. And they decided that they were spraying the whole state with methylon or something it was called. And they had entire phalanxes of helicopters that was literally out of Vietnam. They had 100 helicopters.
Is Bob here in the background?
I mean, it's unbelievable. We're sitting in our sukkah, and all of a sudden, it's like straight out of the movies.
You know? The loudspeaker?
That was it for the thing. Because they kept, I mean, the books kept falling. Yeah, that's true. They could never get away with it nowadays. So it wasn't really an immigrant problem in California after that. It was mutants. Anyway, so here we have a question later on that Abaye asks. We'll see that Rabbah brings a raya from here about what the din is about the shiur of a mechitza that you're planting when you have kanim that are going up in one direction only. They don't, obviously, if they're just planted, then they grow only up. There's nothing cutting across. And he asked him what would be the din about a machitza of kanim, of reeds, natural reeds, that grew, what the shear would be in terms of lovud, whether you need shetiveir. We'll be there in a couple of days. And he brings a raya from this. Maybe that's what the chiddush is. Okay, how about this case? Toshma ilan hameisei chala aretz im eino fog voam in aretz lo shat fachim etatolim tachtan. If you have a tree, a large tree, that this is the old willow, actually, we're talking about over here, straight out of Tolkien, and the branches come all the way down, and they come to within lovud, within three tvachim of the ground. So you would be allowed to carry in that area, because it's basically enclosed with a mechitzot.
Under the shade of the tree.
So that means that it's a kosher mechitza, apparently, even though it just grew naturally that way. No, we're talking that it was planted originally by Tom Bonderville for this purpose.
I have a different jersey here.
But if that's the case, that this was made originally in order for it to be used as mechitzot, why would you not be allowed to carry in the entire area, no matter what the size? Alama Amar of Huna Breder of Yeshua, Ein Metaltelin Bo, Ela Beitza Atayin. Why does it say over here that you can carry in it only up to the shear in which you could plant the equivalent of Tusa'a? And we measure our area measure by how many seeds we could plant in that area. So we have the Beitza, which is the area in which you would plant a Sa'a. Beitza Atayin is Tusa, and that's basically the size of the Chatzar HaMishkan, which is the 50 by 100. Gosh.
Love is not a name.
So, now, what in the world does one have to do with the other, what it was planted for? The idea is this. We have a compromise, halakha, of mechitzot that are not quite put together properly. So, for instance, let's say I have a mechitza that shti without erev. Goes in one direction only, doesn't go in the other direction. I have a fence, but it doesn't have the up and down. That would be an example of a mechitza that's not 100% good type of mechitza. Or a mechitza...
A picket fence without the rose board.
The case of mechitza takanim that we just had. Or a hekef that was not hukaf l'dira.
an area that wasn't meant to be lived in. Not quite the type of mafitza that Chazal wanted on Shabbat. And this type of thing, which had grown up by itself, I mean, if we'll learn that, then it makes perfectly good sense. In other words, this would be included in our compromised mechitzah, for whatever reason. Wherever we have a compromised mechitzah of that type, we give a maximum shiur of Beit Satayim, beyond which we call it a karmelit. Obviously, it's only a derabon and chumrah, and we aser tiltul within it, even though it's a full reshut rabbi midioraita. And then I would understand that even though this is a kosher mechitza, if it was not planted milachatchila for that purpose, I would understand why we have a compromised situation and we only allow you to carry up until Beit Satayim. But according to Abai, it's not a compromise. You're going to try to get out of it over here, and you're going to say, it was planted for that purpose. So what's the compromise? If it was planted for that purpose, so then it should be kosher, no matter how large it is. No limits on things that are built, the chatchila, for a particular, for whatever size you make it. So yihachi l'talta b'kula, and therefore, it should be, we should be able to carry throughout. Why then did Ravuna Bereder of Yeshua say, in b'talta l'no ela beit satayim? Answers the Gemara, mishum dahavi dirash etash b'shala avir. V'chol dirash etash b'shala avir, in b'talta l'inba ela beit satayim b'yofar.
As we'll see,
we have a klal later on, that any avir that was made latashmish hadira, let's say that you have an area, you have a backyard area, which is made for storage things that you have in your home, then that has the same din as the dira. There's no limitations on how large it would be to carry in it. But you can also have the inverse. You can have the dira, which the tashmish is for the avir, such as you have a tree in the middle of a field, in which basically the real usage would be for a watchman to be out in the field. Or if your scarecrow ever gets tired and needs a place to rest, it comes in under the tree and rests. So there, in Achinami, it's a dira, but its main purpose is to serve the area outside of the dira, which is the opposite of the standard, the tashmish of the avir, which is for the sake of the dira. Over here, it's the dira, which is for the sake of the avir. That, too, is one of the compromised situations, which doesn't accurately reflect full mechitzot, and therefore we gave it a limit until Beit Satayim, despite the fact that there's no compromise in its having been planted for that purpose, l'chatchila, the way Rav has learned. What's your problem? Usage. Its main usage is for the area of people that are outside it, not that are inside it. Usually homes are where people live, and the areas around them are what people use. Over here, it's the area around it in which the Shomer lives, and the tree in which he pops into every once in a while.
So the Tashmish Avir itself means the main usage of the air, usage of...
So the service of the outside.
Service.
The service of the area
outside. Tashmish is service.
Right, I understand the word, that's what I'm having. It says the service of the air is what's important.
It serves the open area. Avir is open area.
People outside of
the open area.
Outside of the open area, whatever it is, people coming into it, so that's why...
Its main purpose is to allow people in the open area to have a place to rest. It isn't the focus. It's the open area that's the focus. Gents? Can we continue?
Yeah.
You missed all the excitement. The Mika made drop locks. The herring. Continue. Tushma. Okay, so we've answered. In the context of answering that question, we've also introduced and expanded a very important new yesod, which you should please recall. And that is the rule as to where we make limitations on the size. And it covers a lot of very fascinating cases that are all interrelated by this yesod. It's not quite mitukan properly. But as Rashi uses the words mitukan ve'enu mitukan, this is the shir that Chachamim gave all hekev that is both mitukan but not mitukan completely. That's the shir of Beit Satayim. We've met it earlier in the Karfaf Shalohu Kafla Bira. That was the only example that we had of it until now. Now we're going to see quite a few examples and discover that it's a general category. It's a set of things that until now we thought was a very specific case.
A pretty big tree.
That's why I say it's the old willow. We certainly don't find it. No other tree is known quite of that size.
I didn't quite get an example of Dira Shatashmisha allowed here.
You do. I suspected there might be connections. That's what it is. The question is whether the main focus of a building is for its inside or the outside. An example would be a little pergola that is made in the middle of the tayelet that allows people to stop in and have a little meal and play while they're tayeling. A bus stop, yes, excellent. Bus stop's a good example, beautiful. Watchman's house, lovely example.
You seem to have it pretty good.
All over the place. The truth is he wanted to answer Moshe.
And I appreciate
But he
it.
Did not want to enter. So he asked it as if he didn't know. That's all.
Well, either
but that's
guy,
just me this time.
This guy didn't know either because there's no picture.
Really? This is a problem.
It's just a
either that or it's so pashut.
Okay.
I'll accept either one of them. I go by both.
Come. Toshma, how about this case? Shavat betel, shu gavoa asara, v'hu me'arba amot v'ad beit sa'atayim. Somebody was caught outside on an Erev Shabbat and ended up spending his Shabbat on a hill. And that hill was 10 tefachim high and was wide enough to be anywhere from 4 amot until Beit Satayim as well. Or, Hachem Beneka, Shu Amoka Sara. Or he spent his Shabbat in a little cave. Actually, in an indentation in the ground that was 10 tefachim and anywhere from 4 amot to Beit Satayim. Or, he found himself in the middle of a field that had an area that had already been cut, but was surrounded by standing grain. Then he's allowed on Shabbat to be Mahalechet Kula. He can walk through the entire area, and that's all considered to be one house, and then can continue his Tchum Shabbat outside of that house, Alpaim Amma. Now, I would assume that these cases are cases that were not made l'chatchila, because, look, I mean, if you're going to try to tell me that v'chitei machanami sh'asa mitchila l'kach, okay, one of these cases you could say was made originally for this purpose. That's the case of the field. This guy originally planted the field in order to have an area that was in the middle that in case he ever gets caught on Shabbat, he could stay in that place, and he has mechitzot and the standing grain. Fine. But what are you going to tell me about a hill? That he planted the hill also? And the Mecca? Fine. We could drink l'chaim to that. But the tail of the Mecca, what are you going to say about that? What are you going to say about the tail of the Mecca? Therefore, it's clear that by mechitzot, we can forget about all of these fetching answers and accept that all along they were mechitzot that were omdot me'alehim. And Abai Averov never argued about that case. We were wrong in our original assumption that the same way we argue about Alechi, we argue about Mechitzot. Actually, b'mechitzot kuli amalo plige tahavi mechitzot. A mechitza is defined by itself, not by intent. And therefore, if it's there, it's there. We couldn't care less whether it was made for that purpose. Ki plige b'lechi. We're arguing only about Alechi, and that's because Abaye letame, this is Abaye l'shitato, which actually was never quite l'shitato, as Tosas pointed out before. It was a possibility in l'shitato. One of the ways we understood Abaye earlier was that he held lechis b'shum mechitza. Indeed, there is a different gear, said Rabbeinu Chananel, who doesn't have the words l'ta'amei, but rather Abaye omer lechi b'shum mechitza, since a lechi is a mechitza, it's like any other mechitza. And therefore, if it's omed me'aleh, and mechitza omed it's me'aleh, it's kosher. So Abaye, the time of Yom Lechi, Mishu Mechitza, Mechitza, Suya Melea, Havi Mechitza, was according to Rava, the time of Yom Lechi, Mishu Mechaker, and therefore, I Avida B'Yadayim, Havi Hecker, the whole point of Hecker is that it's made for a purpose. And if somebody is born with a red string wrapped around his finger, is that going to remind him of anything? So over here, if it comes that way, Lechatchila, it doesn't serve as a Hecker. Therefore, Tainez Rova, a lechi that certainly may love, is not to be compared to a mechitza, because lechis don't have anything to do with mechitza. And therefore, lo havi hekir. Toshma. Okay? Let's now zero in, now that we've established that we can't rely on any proof from a case of a mechitza. Let's now zero in on dinim of lechis that appear to be omed me'alehim. Toshma. Avnei gader hayotzot min hagader. Uvdalot zo mizo, pachot mishlosha, ein tzorech lechi acher. Shlosha tzorech lechi acher. Now here we're talking about someone built a wall, and as is common in certain areas, never finished the part that's jutting out of the wall where it was going to be continued, and they just sort of left it uneven with stones sticking out. And now there's less than 3 tefachim between each stone,
then you can make a lechi out of those pieces of stone that are jutting out into the area of the rochav of the mavui. But if you've got a shalosh, and then they're not lavuts, and you don't have a lechi, then you'll need another lechi, which seems to imply that you have a lechi on the neelav. Well, maybe it's talking about your banan mitchilah lekach, you made them to be a lechi. Yakib Shita, I mean, so obviously, well, we don't need now a new brighter to tell me the din of lavut. No, because ma'a detema lemesa binyanau di avid. I might have thought that even where you had plans to build the wall in this fashion, that your real intent was to, after you get Tofes Arba, to be able to now continue and build on, and the Yiriyahu will know. Whereas if you had made it straight, how were you going to get the other wall to hold? So therefore, we shouldn't be able to use this as a lechi, because it's basically true, built a chatchila, but not really for purposes of lechi, but rather lemeisa binyanot, extend the wall. Kamashmatlan. Tashma. Let's see if we bring a riot from here. Kamashmatlan, that we accept the fact that it's jutting out, made for purposes of lechi, but that's also sufficient.
Even if he did have that in mind.
As long as he has also lechi.
Double.
Yeah. Very. Tashma.
If we get back to this kavanah stuff.
Rava, in Rava. In Mefitza we got out of it, but in Rava we got back to it because of Hecker. So, I mean, here it seems to lack Hecker because it's just binyan, it's meant to be extended. Toshma, the Tani Rebbe Chia, Kotel Shetzido Echad Kanus Michaviro. This was a case we had earlier where a piece of the wall is thinner than the rest. So, Bein Shiniremi Bachutz Vishavemi Bifni, whether I can see as I'm walking on the street the thinness of the end of the wall so that it looks like a lechi to me, even though inside of the mavui it's not noticeable. Remember the old picture? It's one of the older pictures. Bein shenira mi bifnim v'shavim mi bachutz. Or if the wall changes from the inside of the mavui, and therefore it's completely unnoticeable from the outside of the mavui. In either case, it would be nidon mishum lechi. Now, lechora over here, it's just an artifact of the way the wall was constructed. It isn't meant as a lechi. And of course, Rava will have to tell us that he meant it this way. So you'll say, "Okay, my kamashmon." So then it's a normal lechi. A kamashmon, a very important din, of course, and that is that even though it wasn't noticeable inside, it was only near the bechutz, but it shaveh mi bifnim. And nonetheless, nidon mishum lechi, which was a big issue that we had discussed earlier very often. Toshma, here's another raya, perhaps. The Rav Aviyativ be'ahum avua, Aviyativ revuna kamei. Rav was in a particular mavui. Ravuna was sitting there in front of him. Omalei Lashame, when Rav asked his butler, Zil Aitele Kuzadamaya, please bring me a pitcher of water. Adi Ata, by the time he had come back with the pitcher of water, Nafal Lechayim, the lechi collapsed. So Ach Vilei Biyade, so Rav showed the Shamash by sticking out his hand in a universal stop sign. Come, Adurte, stand there and don't carry any longer because this mavui is no longer usable. Omale Ravuna, lo sover lamar lisme chadikla. Is that there was also a tree there by the petach of the mavui, even though it hadn't been miyuchet for the lechi. But don't you hold we could be semech on the dekel because of Abaye? Oi, veiz miri said to him, Adomi haimer abonin gelo parshi in chishmeitza. Vey, this is my Talmud. He looks like somebody nobody ever explained the ABCs to. Misam chinan le me'etmol. Or did I rely on that tree from yesterday to be my lechi? I had another lechi here. So now that lechi collapsed, I can't now ex post facto decide that the tree is my lechi. Taima. But we see from here that the only objection that Rav had was the fact that he had not relied on that tree yesterday. Hosam chinan havi lechi. Had he, in fact, relied on that tree,
and not the other
so
one.
Then it would have been a kosher lechi.
Would that have been
an
exclusivity? Or
no. Lema abaye v'rova b'dalosam chinah. You know, maybe we were wrong, actually. You know, it's maybe we assumed before that rova and abaye, we said right away at the top, hey, k'dalosam chinah le'me'etmo kuleyam lo pligi d'lo habilech. That's what we said earlier. Maybe actually that assumption was wrong. They were arguing Dafka in a case where they weren't, because I mean usually that looks like Rava. Here we see Rav saying basically like Abaye, if we learned that the machlokus was below some chinah alei, so then
That would already make sense. So then Rav was saying, now look, it's like Rava, that if you were semich on it yesterday, then you could rely on it, but not if you weren't semich on it yesterday. Maybe that's what they were arguing on. So lema abayev Rava bit a low samchin alei pligi. But if samchin alei, so then it wouldn't have been a problem. Havi lechi. No, sorry. Lo sakadaitach. There's no easy way out of this issue. The fact is, we're semich on abaya in this case. This is the Yal Kagam case. Yahu Barka, the Havi Bebar Chabu, the Havi Plikaba Abayev Rav, Kula Shanayu. There was a famous case of a porch. Oh boy. That jutted out by Bar Chabu. This was a guy who used to live on top of Richie. Always problems. And he stuck the pillar that supported his porch, stuck it right down into the Mavi over there, and Abaye and Rava spent their whole lives arguing about whether you could carry in that Mavi or not based on that pill. And obviously, that was a case where you were Semek on it from before. And nonetheless, they were Chalek. And the Hilchas Sakya Abaye in this case, of course, because this is Yalkika.
And even if it comes down in the middle of Shabbos, it was up on Trila Shabbos. Rebbe?
Yeah. We have a few minutes of quiet. Let's use it.
Took the Heidi Commissioner.
Bechol osin lechayim, or lechayayin, afilu bedavar sheyesh bo ruach chayim. If you want to use cheeks for your lechis, you could use them. Because even living lechis are kosher. So you could take... No, an animal.
Animal.
Animal lechis. That's
almost a person. That's right. Animal lechis.
That's what they're referring to.
Rabbi
Meir Oser. Rabbi Meir, however, asers such a lechi, as we'll see in general. Furthermore, a mitame mishum golel. It's a fascinating halacha. A living animal that is used as a golel. What is a golel? Of course, we've had this machlokas many times. According to Rashi, the golel is the covering of the Aron Hamet. It is a little bit strange to say they used an animal to cover their Aron Hamet. And indeed, elsewhere, Rashi says, this is only lahagdil Torah v'lahadir. It's not a serious case. But according to Tosfos, the golel is a marker on a grave, the marker that sits horizontally on the grave. And the dofek would be the markers that jut up on the sides. And here, we have an interesting halacha. Normally, a living animal, other than a human, cannot be matami, by definition. Can't be mekabel tuma, certainly cannot be matami. The only living being that's matami is a human being. But if an animal is used as a golel, it loses its problematic status of being alive. It's simply a golel. The Torah was mechadesh, that a golel is matami be'ohel, just like the mate. And according to Rashi, having once been a golel, it's now a golel forever. So if this animal ever wanders into your house, all the kohanim would have to run out of the house because this is a walking, a living, breathing golel. The Rambam disagrees. You sure would. There are ways to restrain animals from moving. Yeah, there's actually ways to do that. No, strings, all kinds of very sophisticated modes of keeping animals in one place. But it requires a lot of imagination, so we won't get into it here. So you made sure that this animal stayed exactly where it was supposed to be, and now for the rest of its life, it's going to be metame mishum golel. The Rambam holds that anything which is not mekabel tuma, and in normal circumstances, is a golel only so long as it's serving that purpose. The moment it is not in a position to be a golel, it's no longer able to transmit tuma. So it doesn't change its status of being a living being. But then it's an interesting machlokas, which is, of course, not very relevant.
It's tummy, but it cannot transfer.
No.
Stops being tummy.
Cannot be mitame. Stops being tummy. It just becomes a living animal again. So mitame mishum golel, for Rebbe Meir mitayer. Here, too, Rebbe Meir holds it's not a golel because of the fact that it's living. V'kotfim alav gitei nashim, and you can also write on a living animal a get. It's an excellent way of delivering a get. You write the case in the Gemara in Gittin is that you write the get on the horn of the Porah, you see, and then you give it a kick in its rump, and it goes running into your wife's house, and that's it. Now she's got her get.
What if she's wearing a red dress?
Rabbi Yossi Haglili Posel. At this very minute? Hmm.
I thought it was.
No, Musa. Musa.
9:30.
Let's be so quick. We'll put it on the tape.
And the loudspeaker is
the one. Is that helicopter?
Okay, so it's over. Should we say Adio Mamore?
Question is, should we?
Tanya.
Says the government stopped flying for this.
Tanya, Rabbi Meir, on it could very well be that they did. And they might have been asked to stay away from Rabbi Meir. Tanya, Rabbi Meir, Omer. Kol davar sheyesh bo ruach hayim, ein osim oto. Anything that is alive cannot be used for any purpose that is mechitza oriented. You can't use it as a dofer the sukkah. You can't use it as a lefi for a mavui. You can't use it for pasei beraot, for watering your 18-wheeler. And you can't use it, it cannot become a golel to a kever. That's the case of the corner beams that are surrounding the water hole. Mishum Rabbi Yose Aglili Amru, af in kotvim alav gitei nashim. It's also not kosher for a get. Now, this doesn't make sense that it has anything to do with the previous issue, because the previous issue is a question of a mechitza that is supported by life, which it means that it's supported by a quality that is not part of the mechitza. That's Rabbi Meir's svara. Anything that is omeid, not through direct physical means, but is omeid only because of properties that are in it, but that are not part of what we observe in the actual physical matter, is not a mechitza. As long as its purpose is, it's standing there by magic.
And if it would be dead, it would be a good mechitza.
If it would be dead, it would be fine.
No, but it's not standing because it's alive. It's standing, it's there.
If in fact, it would be just in a pile, then it's not standing because it's alive. If it's big enough to be a mechitza, then it can be dead, and it's fine. My time at the Rabbi Yossi Aglili, so what then is Rabbi Yossi Aglili Svara over here to aser it, Mishum Gitei Nashim, the Tanya. It says in the Pasuk, V'katavla Sefer Kritut V'natan B'yada. So Rabbi Yossi darshan's like this. It says Sefer, in the Ella Sefer, maybe a Sefer means literally a Sefer made out of cloth, as we see by Yirmiyo, where it says, V'nikotev ala Sefer B'yo, and that was the Megillah that was off, and so okay, and that's a serious Sefer. But minayin l'rabot kol davar, how do we know that anything that I write on is called nonetheless a Sefer? Talmud lomar v'katavla, since it says v'katavla stam, and then it's any type of ketav, it also means that itself would be kosher. I will say, but it says v'katavla Sefer. Imkein ma talmud lomar Sefer, that's something else. That's to tell me, lomar lecha ma sefer davar shein bo ruach hayim. The concept of sefer over here is not to tell me that it has to be a sefer. Because if it would have said, v'katavla kritut ba sefer, fine, then it means that the kritut has to be in a sefer. But to say v'katavla sefer kritut is not the way I would say such a thing. It must be that it's coming to give me a comparison to the din of sefer. So just like a sefer is something that is written on a davar shein bo ruach hayim, and furthermore, it's not foodstuff. Things that are not usable for sefers in general, and not the derech to write on, would not be kosher for ketivas haget, and therefore I generally do not write on a living animal, and it's not kosher for a get either. Not kosher. Rabbanan. Because it's similar to all things, the things that we can't use an animal for. So we put it here together with sukkah, lechi, and ktiva. At least that's the simple connection to it. So now, according to him, the sefer is just sheyesh b'ruach hayim. How about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan says, miksi ba sefer. Sefer ktiv. If it had written v'katavla ba sefer, he should write in a sefer, he should write kritut. What is a sefer kritut? Sefer kritut simply means l'svirat dvarim be'alma hudi'ata. All that that's coming to tell me is that you have to write the fact of the gerushin. That's all that it means. So then, if that's the case, how do they understand the meaning of v'katavla? Since you're telling me that a sefer does not really mean a sefer, so then that means, if that's the case, you can write with anything. So why does it say then the Vikatavla? Tosis points out, of course, the Vikatavla is needed to say that it has to be written in the Shema, but that's a separate pasuk. There's two psukim v'chatavla. So this pasuk of v'chatavla sefer kritut, if it doesn't mean it in the context of actually writing in a book, and you're saying it only means something to talk about, so why mention it at all? Why would somebody be calling me from my own home?
It's a sound.
They know that I'm in the middle of the thing. Yeah, find out what they're going to do.
Hello.
So therefore, according to them, we'll have to say that the meaning of the Vikatavla is to tell me Bichtiva mitgareshet vega mitgareshet bekesef. It's to tell me that you cannot use another mode of gereshin. Why would I think you could use another mode of gereshin? Where would the Torah give me another mode of gereshin? Very simple. It says v'yatza v'hayeta. The woman leaves house A and then moves into house B. In other words, she marries the next guy. The Gemara tells us that that is a hekesh of yitziyah to havaya, which means that kedushin and gerushin have the same dinim. And if that's the case, I should say, the same way that you can marry a woman by money, then she should be able to be yotze from his rishus with money. Kamash malan, you can only use ktiva for a get. What is it? Rabbi Yossi Aglili, hi Svarami Nali. And according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, how does he know that you can't go and give a get in the sense of using money for gerushin? Nafkele mi sefer kritut, sefer korta, ve'in davar acher korta. So? Nothing, they're supposed to give us. So only a sefer can cut, this is crazy, can cut the relationship. Nothing else. Not because of the extra sefer, but rather because it puts sefer kritut together. So according to the Rabbanan, what do you do with sefer kritut? Hi, sefer kritut, we boil the davar kakorit beinu levinat. Rabbanan say, that's very true, but it's not extra for that purpose. Because sefer kritut comes to tell me that the sefer must be unequivocally a kritut. So that if the gate does not sever the relationship, and how would that be possible? For instance, suppose he gives her a sefer on condition. And he says, Now, as is very common in gerushins, husbands like to control ex-wives. So therefore, he'll say, okay, the marriage is over, but you're still totally dependent. In something. And whatever it is. You can't drink wine for the rest of your life. That's not an unequivocal kritut. Doesn't sever the relationship. So therefore, if you make such a tznai le'olam, it defines now the way things are. Ain't that kritut? Why is it not kritut? Because it's not safer kritut. It's not unequivocal. But kol shloshim yom, let's say you want to make a condition. Oh, God, what's good? Kol shloshim yom, or ain't that kritut? If you say for the next 30 days, then it becomes a condition like anything else. And you can actually make any condition you want with a get, as long as it doesn't change the nature of the severance. The severance has to be complete. The fact that there may be other elements in which I'm not dependent on you, I'm just fulfilling my conditions, that would be perfectly okay.
But if she drinks wine, it's
no, even if she doesn't drink wine, it's not a kosher get. She gets drunk. You're talking about the Shloshim Yom case or the Forever case?
Oh, the says if you don't drink wine, now she drinks
forever or for 30 days?
30 days.
I want him to see the difference. I know the difference. All right. I mean, once he sees the difference, he knows the difference. If she breaks it, she didn't keep the condition. Nice get.
Then there's no get.
Yeah, of course, like any other condition. Be bad news. That's a case where for drinking wine, you can get your head cut off. See? You never know. She has to wait until the condition is kept. When the condition is kept, then she has a gift. We have crazier cases than that in gift, believe me. Just hold on, it gets wilder by the moment. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, it's true what you're saying, but I know that halacha also from another source. I know that from the fact that it could have written Sefer Karet. I didn't say for Sefer Kritut. The additional Kritut means severance, not a Sefer to sever. So severance is a general state, and therefore I agree with you, but the fact that it writes it in this way gives me two drushes, and therefore I can learn both of my drushes from it, that you can't use kesef, and that it has to be complete severance. And the Rabbonin, karet kritut lo darshi. The Rabbonin hold that stretching things a bit.
the way in which you would use an adjective would be sefer kritut, not sefer karet. So therefore, they only have one drasha, so they use that drasha to tell me the din of the absolute severance, and then they have to utilize the drasha of Rabbi Yossi Aglili before to tell me that you can't use kesef, in which case they don't have any reason to say that you can't write a get on something that's alive. And therefore, in our Mishnah, they have kotvin alav gitei nashim even on a living animal. Now here we have the Jews wandering through the desert, and they're choneh now in this bika, in the wilderness. And now they surround the encampment with the various things that they had used for their animals, the hitches and the bits and so on. Then they can create a mechitza out of that, that's fine. And metaltalin bitocha, as long as it's 10 tfachim high, of course. Gavachi gedar gavas rat tfachim. And as long as lo yu pirtzot yeterot ala binyan, as long as you don't have more porutz ala omeid. And one additional thing, if you have a pirtza, which is 10 amod or less, that's fine. Bibneshi kepetach, but the moment it's yeter mikan, it's considered to be porutz, and the entire area becomes asur. So this Mishnah basically tells us the rules that we've been assuming all along. Any petach without a tzurata petach, or according to Rav, even with a tzurata petach, is limited to 10 amot. Once it goes beyond 10 amot, then the whole area is kaput. Furthermore, a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim high. And furthermore, we need, even if we have smaller openings, we need that the omeid is more than the parut. So we'll see whether it can be the same.
This would be circling the wagons.
Circling the wagons, exactly. Itmar. Parut ke omeid. Rav Papa omer mutar, whenever Rav Yishua omer asur. If it's exactly the same, how about then? Would it be mutter or not? So Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua says it's asur, Rav Papa says it's mutter. Remember that we learned out the dinim of mechitzot, we said before, we're halach, halam osha misinai. So I mean, what's basically, what are they saying? Rav Papa is saying mutar, meaning that the halach l'moshe misinai, as given over to Moshe, was there should not be rov parutz. Okay, agmei rachman l'moshe. Lo tifrotz rubas. As long as you don't have more parutz, you have no problem. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua mer asur. According to him, the halacha focused on the geder, not on the parutz. And therefore, the dinim of mechitzot were stated in terms of what needs to be there, not in terms of what not there. So when Moshe was told a din of rov, it was gedor ruba. Most of it shall be gadur, and if you don't have most of it gadur, you don't have a kosher mechitza. Now, our Mishnah seems to be pretty clear on this topic. Tznan velo yehu pirtzot yitirot al habinyan. What's important, says the Mishnah, is not to have more open space than built space. So in other words, if they would be the same, not more, okay, binyan would be fine. So the Mishnah is telling us that Porutz Ka'emed is, as Rav Papa says, mutter. Why do we need to have mostly built up space?
What's the difference between the Gedor and the Mechitza here?
Between Gedor and Mechitza, I cannot explain.
I don't
know any difference between them.
So then why do we have a difference here?
We don't. After you figure out where it is, you'll tell it to me, but that'll probably take you a few years. So meanwhile, we'll have silence.
It's not really that fair. We're talking about Gedarim here, we're talking about Mechitzas here, two different things. Are we not?
No.
Then why are we using two different words?
To confuse Moshe Boros, that happened to be
very
nicely,
thank you very much.
But and next, build a trap for heffalumps, and wait till they fall in. Okay. So now the Shaila is, what do you do with the Mishnah? It seems perfectly clear. Says the more, ignore the Mishnah. Lo tema ha kibinyan mutar. Maybe don't really focus on that too much. Maybe ela ema in binyan yeter ala pirtza mutar. What it really means is that you should be medayik, that if you have it the other way around, that the binyan is more than the pirtza, then it's mutar. But that's crazy. So then what are you saying? Ava kibinyan maif would be the same exactly as the binyan. What would be the din? You're telling me it's asur? That's how you want to read the Mishnah? So then the Mishnah should simply have said, why does it say over here in the Mishnah, I understand what you're trying to say. You're trying to say, look, the Mishnah is listing the things that it can't be. Right? So, I mean, obviously you don't want to suddenly switch and say, as long as you have the built more. You say it can't be more unbuilt. But you could say it can't be the same.
You could still focus on what it can't be. So then you're focusing on the problem, you're giving me accurate information, and instead you're saying it in a way that implies that Rapapa is right when you're trying to claim that actually would be us, like Ravuna Breda of Yeshua. No, Kasha, it's a problem. Not the end of the world. And now, of course, in honor of Chagas Sukkot, Tashma, Hamikares Sukkato Bishpudin, Ubaruchot Hamita. Somebody then who would make his chach out of kalim that would be makabel tumah, which is not kosher. So perhaps he uses spits that were meant for meat, that's a kli, or he uses bedsides, which were meant to support now the mattress. These are kalim, and therefore they're not kosher to be used for schach. But im yesh revach b'nehem kimotan shera, as long as you have equivalent distance between them, empty space, as you have them, a full space, and here's a case of porutz ke'omed. It says over here it's kosher. So apparently, porutz ke'omed is not a problem. Ach, b'mayaskinan, it's talking about over here, kishin nichnas v'yotze. It's talking about that you have space in which you can insert alternative things in the other area. So here, basically, if you want to have your roof complete during the year, so you put an aruchat amita in every space. When it comes sukkot, you take off one, every other one. Okay, so our assumption at this point was that the meaning was that, so you're not being medactic particularly, it should be exactly the same. It just means that it's able to be, this is how Rashi understands it, that can be taken in and out, not the way that usually means. And when something is taken in and out, it's specifically meant to have additional space so that it's easy to take it in and out, which is usually what it means. In which case, the Gemara asks, v'ha efshar letzamzem, if you're being careful in this fashion, and you wanted to have your roof properly done, so you could make it very exact, and how do we know that the case over here, therefore, is referring to where you have extra space between, and therefore, rov, that is parutz, which, of course, is what you need for the sukkah, the opposite of the chatzar. So maybe over here, it should be possible, unless you're ready to accept. But if it's the same, it's just as good. All right. Rabbani b'ma'adiv, says Rabbani, no, but we didn't mean yotzei v'nichnas, we meant that you bedafka left extra space in order that you should have no problem, and rov will be kosher with schach. Rava Amar, Rava says there's bechalal no problem. Because im hayan netunim arev not no shti, shti not no arev. Basically, we're not talking about where you fill in the spaces between with something going in the same direction. We're talking about where you put schach kosher in the opposite direction. Since you're putting it in the opposite direction, you now have a case of rov schach kasher. Because by definition, if it's going in the opposite direction, it's got to be going over the top at least a little bit to be holding it. So therefore, you're going to have more of the schach that's kasher than of the schach that's not kasher, and everything will be fine. Yes, because of rov. Now, Tosfos has a lot of problems with Rashi's pshat. First of all over it says, E.F. Shalatamson, not take it for granted, F. Shalatamson. Secondly, that's why it's very not normal for us to use the words Yotze v'nichnas one way, meaning just not caring, and then coming along and saying, well, couldn't you be medakpet? When normally Yotze v'nichnas means the opposite. Well, why would we have used it that way? And besides, where you're talking about rov and using schach kosher to be mevatel schach pasul, it's only where they're mixed. Not where they're clearly separate. If, in other words, let's say that I would have leaves of a tree that's growing, and I intertwine the leaves of the tree with kosher schach. So over there I say, if I have mostly kosher schach, I was mevato the leaves of the tree, because I have a tarovet, and in a tarovet, we go according to the majority. But that's not what it's talking about over here. It's talking about you dumped some schach, like right over here, on top of, let's say, these things would be the aruchot amita, and you're saying this schach would be mevato the stuff on the bottom. How exactly would it be mevato the stuff on the bottom? By the way, you see from here that the din of bittul does not mean that you can't figure out what's what. Still called bittul.
And we had the aruchot above, and we put schach underneath as in another location.
It has nothing to do with this. Because it's not mixed. Of course, this has a massive implication for shratzim, if you might be able to pick out if you try hard enough from a tarot. but which are nonetheless Murav, just like the Schach, you could pick out the living branches from the other branches, but it's still considered to be Murav. In any event, therefore, Tosef suggests that this whole approach is wrong. The Gemara's correct girsa was Iefshar Mitzamtzem, and that what we were really talking about was this. We have extra space, yes, but since when you fill that space with kosher Schach, you're not going to come all the way up to the edge. You can't be mitzamtzem to be absolutely clear that you've got now kosher schach that's going to be the rov. So how can you rely on that to be a kosher sukkah? Therefore, we would have to say that actually you make so much extra space that even with the part that's missing up along the edges, you would have sufficient. So we could be ma'adif. You would either be ma'adif the way Rav is saying by ma'adif, we'll have more going across the top. And that way it covers every last bit because it doesn't have to fit. It's going above it, like over here. It's not going between it. Or that it actually goes above it on the other side. So it's a ma'adif. Whether it's shisi or eruv, it doesn't matter. That's all. So no, this is normal.